For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. I don't know why I'm laughing, but this is Oluwani Femi, and welcome to the Tech Point Africa podcast, where you get the latest and the juiciest tech news in Africa. This is not the face you're expecting to see here, but something happened, and that thing is not me overthrowing Emmanuel. Emmanuel had to be out of the office today, so I'm filling him in for him. Okay, and with me here today is Bolu and Chim Gozrin, yeah. The huge
star boy,
and it feels weird being on this side. Well, let's do this. Today we have a number of things to discuss in Nigeria, outside Nigeria, in Africa, and outside Africa, and we are hoping that you will get all you need to know from the Africa tech scene from us today. So with that, we'll go right into what we have today. And the first one we'll be talking about is money, fintech is always in our faces, and there is a report telling Nigerians how much was made from transfer levies in 2022. Yeah, Shimko, fill us in on that.
Okay. So the FIRS, that's the Federal Inland Revenue Service, has announced that they made 10.1 trillion naira from taxes throughout 2022. And of the 10.1 trillion naira electronic transfer levy, that it's good for the amount of money you pay every time you receive a deposit or you receive money above 10,000 naira. So That's about 15 naira, although you could get higher than that depending on how much you receive. So from all those transfers, they made about 125 billion naira from all those transfers, and it's about a 10% increase from what they did last year. So sorry, not last year, in 2021. Yes. So the FIRS is, or the government, is making a lot of money from the amount of money we pay during transfers.
So that's good news, yeah?
Yeah, for the Nigerian government it is.
Is that good news for Nigerians?
I guess it's good news for them. So for one, it's evidence that more people are doing online transactions. Or even if more people are not doing more transactions, it could also be that we are having more transactions or more expensive transactions being done. But to put it in context, 4 million plus people got their BVNs last year. And that shows at least 4 million extra people, because you cannot get the new BVN if you already had one before. So yeah, that means 4 million extra people
open bank accounts.
Yeah, and possibly
are using the USSD, POS, or you're using internet banking or mobile banking. That's cool. And there was an increase in VAT, right? I think 7.5%, right? Yeah. So it seems it's not going to deter people from using electronic transfer or any form of online transfers.
Yes. So the way I see increments like that is, how much is it? Mm-hmm. And how much of an inconvenience is it compared to maybe going to the bank and standing in a queue? It's really not a lot. And how many Nigerians even get to do transactions like heavy? So if you're doing 10,000 naira, it's like 15 naira. Mm-hmm. That's the charges you pay, or that the person receiving pays. So, well, except you're a businessman and you are making really high transactions, what you're paying is not a lot. Yeah. So yeah.
Do you think agency banking contributed to this in any way?
Possibly. So I typically use agency banking for withdrawals. I don't know if people are using it for deposits or transfers. I know people do it, maybe people who do not really have bank accounts or something like that, they probably do, but it's very possible. Tim Abt recorded a huge increase in the amount that they processed just last year. So it's very, very possible that across board, I can't remember the numbers from NIBS, but there was also an increase in the number of online transactions last year as well. So that's definitely ties into why they made a lot more money. So I think it just makes sense. Encourage more people to use online transactions and then tax it. It makes more sense.
Let's hope it gets better, both on the citizens and Nigerian government. So moving away from that, we want to talk about a Nigerian startup that is going global, or that has gone global, right, in the past week. Kuda Bank expanded to Pakistan. I just want to know why. Bolu.
All right, so Kuda's expansion, I think firstly it's something that, I don't know, I think it's quite laudable for them to be able to make that expansion, because it was dependent on their possibility of getting the license, which from the news we heard is something very difficult to get.
Like, which license?
Yeah, the banking license for Pakistan.
Pakistan, yeah, okay.
That they get from the Pakistan
government.
Yeah, so it was interesting that they were able to get it, because there were even more established commercial banks that were vying for, you know, that license. And I think the license only gave 5 of them out, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting that a Nigerian startup was one of the, you know, a Nigerian fintech was one of, you know, the new banks that were able to get it. So, and they were very strategic about, you know, how they went about getting it. So they had to partner, they made a partnership with some organizations there in Pakistan, and I think through them, that was how they were able to get that license.
So what's the interest in Pakistan?
So for me, I think an opportunity presented itself, you know, for them to make that move, right? And, you know, a lot of people say you are still facing a lot of backlash here in Nigeria.
Yeah, you get and it's normal for startups to get that kind of reaction, because you're expected to like be laser focused on a particular market and conquer that market.
Yes, and even after their latest raise, I think they were about $50 million, you know, they said it will be geared towards expanding within Africa.
Africa.
So now they didn't even wait in Africa. You know, the first expansion was not even in Africa. They went all the way to Asia. And it's surprising that, you know, they made that kind of move. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, back and forth, you just see it's clear, because I also got wind of the fact that, you know, they've been making some investments in Pakistan. So maybe they saw the opportunity.
Variable market.
Yes.
Maybe they have a financial inclusion challenge.
Yeah, they
like
do.
Nigeria.
But, man, even at that, there's still a lot.
Because I'm looking at how one is how they will compete in that market with local,
I think,
providers.
I think they will be able to compete, because when you look at it, you know, when you look at the old news, Nigeria actually has some licenses that, you know, Nigeria's, you know, financial space, when you compare it with that of Pakistan, it's a little bit higher. So I think Kuda Bank has that advantage, because they're already in a place where, you know, again, despite the whole, because Kuda Bank users will probably crucify me for this, but they've been able to at least, let's say, survive here in Nigeria. And then, they are surviving in a place where, you know, there's the regulatory foresight, you know, when it comes to finance in Nigeria is still kind of good, right? The regulators understand, you know, where the problems are. So Pakistan is just doing those things, right? They are just starting to do those things. So it makes sense, right, that someone that has already done it in a country where they have these regulations in place already, you know, someone that has survived there is now coming to be the pioneer you know, for an economy or a country where these regulations are now just being put in place, right? So it's going to be, I see it as something that is now going to be like a collaboration between the Pakistani government and Kudabag, for example, where Kudabag, you know, from what they've seen and witnessed in Nigeria, they can now put the country through.
Hopefully. Well, so let's say that Kudabank is taking its experience from the Nigerian market to Pakistan. So we wish them well.
We wish them well. But then we also have to consider the fact that while they've survived, they've managed to survive in Nigeria, it's not as if they've done it in flying colors. I mean, just judging by Kudabank making a Twitter post, right? And then you look at the comments, you know,
yeah,
they are always under fire. So how do they want to manage, you know, making Nigerian customers happy, and then making, you know, well, hopefully if they get, you know, hopefully are able to start operations in Pakistan, would they be able to make those ones happy too, or they'll start chopping courses from, you know, on Pakistan. Two fronts. So I wish them all the best.
Wish them well, and there are always internal reasons for making huge steps like this. Yeah, a lot of thoughts have to go into it, and of course, a lot of spending, we have to go into it because you have to hire a team and all that. So we wish Kuda the best. From there, we move on to South Africa. Yeah. There's a new development that expects all crypto ads to have a caveat that says, what?
Okay, so the Advertising Regulatory Board in South Africa now wants crypto ads to show that, they want the crypto ads to tell people, you know, the people you are targeting with those crypto ads, tell them that it is possible for you to lose money if you go into crypto.
And basically, it should be.
Yes, because it's true, right? So, in a nutshell, this body is saying, if you're advertising anything crypto, make it clear what exactly crypto is, make it clear what the risk involved is, make it clear what the consequences is going to be. So, it's more detailed than that, but in a nutshell, that is what they're trying to say. So they are saying things like, if you're going to have an influencer or an ambassador promote those things, you cannot have those people say things like, you know, things from their own experience. Whatever they will be saying has to be factual, right? So because we've seen situations, and it's important for them to do that, because recently we saw in the US where Kim Kardashian made an Instagram post where she was like, oh, this coin, this, that, is making money, something like that. And then people saw it because she's influential. She has a lot of following. People saw it and they also invested in it, and now they are crying. And then the US government had to say, okay, if you are doing anything like that, let us know. Be factual about it. I was paid to do this. Mm-hmm. You doing, me saying you should do this does not mean it will go well for you. It. Yes. So I think it's very important. And, you know, it wasn't actually, it's important to note that it was not the advertising board that is pushing this. It's actually a crypto exchange called Luno. Mm-hmm. That is pushing this, and yeah, it's good that Luno is doing that, but again, I feel Luno is this company, I think they are kind of playing Binance, you know. Binance has a way of always wanting to make peace with regulators, right? Always drawing them close, exactly, something like that. So I think
but this is what should be every other day for any financial advice you give. No Everyone. Matter how experienced you are, even in the stock market space, you should be able to add the disclaimer.
Yes, right? You should.
Because some people go into investments with the mind that I'm getting 50x of what I put into back.
Which is not.
It can happen, it might not happen. Exactly. You get it, but the kind of assurance that some influencers give.
Like
use my promo code and blah blah blah, and you put your money and it's gone with the air. So this is what should actually be for any kind of financial advice you are giving to people, because these are people's hard earned money. And then, even though they tell you not to put your spare money into investment, people will still put their tomorrow's food money inside investments. you will never learn. but that is what should be. I'm just looking forward to how government, African government especially, would enforce this and make sure it goes through. Because I remember AFCON was held last year, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
AFCON is the football.
Yes, African.
Okay. I don't follow.
And it was funny to see that that many crypto platforms were advertising.
Was an headline.
Yes, headline sponsors. Like, and no African government is supporting, as in have accepted or have embraced crypto, well, but they allow all these companies to advertise on sideboards, on pitches.
It's not the government that's in charge of that. Like, the government is not direct. So, you know the way our governments are.
Mm-hmm.
So, CBN is doing their thing, SEC is doing their thing, Ministry of Youth and Sports, Ministry of Sports. Like, everybody's doing different things.
But it's an African tournament.
Yeah, but when I want to apply as a headline sponsor for AFCON, I'm not going to the CBN, I'm going to the Ministry of Sports. So
they should know what is acceptable in that country.
What they want is a sponsor. You give them money, they don't care what your CBN is.
Well, they can't stop them. And when it comes to crypto, African governments and crypto, Nigeria, for example, I define the relationship as love-hate relationship. You know, we'll see them say this today, tomorrow they are saying maybe it's a good, well, we'll look into it. So it's usually bass boost.
So if you're listening to this, whenever anybody gives you a financial advice, take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah,
right, they are not telling you will get your money
back. It's too good to be true.
So we move away from that. As the usual is, every January of every year, right, you start seeing figures flying all over the place about how much African startups or startups raised in the previous year is done all over the world. Different continents have their data, and Africa's data is out, although there are variations in different figures that different platforms are releasing. But there's an interesting fact in this report, and that is the fact that Kenya is leading other African countries when it comes to debt financing. So, Chigozie, this is what you're going to tell us, right? You're going to tell us what we are used to actually is VC funding, right?
Mm-hmm.
For African startups, yeah. Right? But now debt financing is gaining pace, mm-hmm. right? So what is debt financing when it comes to investing in African startups?
Thank you for that wonderful question. That's a very good question.
Oh, Lord, stop it. I sound like traditional media.
But yeah, so debt financing, just like the name says, is basically getting a loan from a debt provider. That is that simple.
So, with interest, you're going to pay back with interest. Yeah. So if you want to lend your opinion, why would you think people would go more for debt financing than VC funding in Kenya, actually?
Yeah, so it's not just Kenya, right? Kenya leads, mm-hmm. but Egypt, I think Egypt is second, then Nigeria and South Africa third and fourth. Mm-hmm. So debt, you know the way debt works. If I get a 100 million naira loan from you, the tenure might be 2-3 years, and at the end of 3 years, I give you your money with your interest and you leave me, mm-hmm. right? But if I give you equity in exchange for a share, sorry, if I give you equity in exchange for your money in my company, you're with me for life. Mm. So if you begin to move mad tomorrow, it's difficult to kick you away. But if it's debt, I can just say, okay, don't worry, let's just manage this guy for the next 3 years. And the truth is debt financiers do not care about what happens. They just need
their money
and their interest. Yes. It's that simple.
So they would only invest in your you run your company.
They don't come.
But what of a situation where, you know, we've seen companies that don't exactly make profit, or try to make profit or make revenue for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Will companies like that also, like, would debt financing be good for them? Because you might have to, there are companies where you have to like operate for, say you are into biomeds or things like that, you know, or even a company like OpenAI, for example.
OpenAI would most likely, would definitely not get debt financing, except they get a multi-year debt, which I don't know how that would work. They could get a multi-year debt, but it just doesn't make any sense for for the lender, really, because it's a very risky venture. What happens if your AI plans never work? But a relief, for example, that builds, like what they are doing, they build like tech that they use to process these sperm kernels, and then they use it, process the pumpkin nails, and then they sell, right? They would need working capital to fund something like that.
Yeah.
So you can fund them, and then you know that, maybe after a year, they're able to recover their money. Mm-hmm. So based on this, I can get my money back. Mm-hmm. But if you're a fintech startup, that you're a payment processor, right? Why would I give you debt? For what? What do you want to do? So that you can do marketing, right? So I need to be sure.
Why are developers,
right? So I need to be sure that, just the same way bank will ask you, okay, can I see your projections for the next 1 year? I need to be very, very sure that your projections are grounded in reality.
Is there a case where, in the future, where interest in VC funding will like dwindle so
no.
much?
No, I don't see that. I don't see
even
that
it
future.
Sounds like dash money.
No, it's not. So that's the mentality. That's the mentality people have. It's not. So the thing is, you do not... When you take my money, I don't know if you've lent somebody, like, I don't know if you've paid somebody school fees before, or you've given someone money to do
you've
something.
You've been entitled to their life.
You're entitled to, like,
must pass.
Wait, I gave you 50K, and you said in there 50K. Why are you telling me that the money wasn't enough?
That is what you told me you need.
You told me in there 50K, I gave you 50K, so why are you telling me the money wasn't enough, right? So it's, I am investing in you. I'm investing in your potential. Usually at the early stages, I'm investing in your potential, right? I'm not dashing you money. That's the truth. I think that's what a lot of founders, or maybe a lot of people who see all the stories in the media, they just think, is dash money. Bro, they never made the UZFC to find you.
And I remember before we spent time.
So we used a lot of time. And if you need more insight into what these reports are, you can check our website for that. I will drop a link in the description. Thank you for joining us in today's for today's episode. And I would like to inform us of we have two new and very new newsletters that are very, very focused. One is focused on the fintech space and another is focused on the workspace. So there is the workspace. We'll drop a link for both in the description. But the work newsletter is named the Workaholic. You didn't see that coming, yeah? And the other one is FinTech Today. We'll drop a link in the description if you need the latest news and trend on FinTech in Africa and in the world as it concerns Africa. If you also want to learn about the latest trend in talent acquisition, in employment, in HR, in labor laws, and everything in between, you should also subscribe to the Workaholic. Workaholic. We'll drop a link in the description. Bolu, for the podcast list.
Don't worry.
The podcast listeners, where can they get?
All right. For podcast listeners, you can always find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Hyatt Radio, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for sticking with us. And we see our advice.
Bye.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.